All right, so let's finish up 1 Corinthians chapter 16 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We started this series about 6 months ago, and we titled the series, I Have Issues. Not you, but the person next to you, amen? We know that you got it figured out. But some of us have got some serious issues, and so did the church in Corinth. And for the last 6 months, we've unpacked all of their issues that they were going through, that Paul was addressing to the church in Corinth. You had guys that were in the church who were sleeping with their stepmom or mom. I don't care how you look at it. It's just nasty. Somebody say amen. They were coming to the communion table, and they were looking at it like they were going to Moby Dick's. And instead of taking communion, they were taking a drunk. They were getting drunk in the middle of service, and Paul was having to correct that. You had guys coming in church dressing like women. You had all kinds of stuff going on in this church that we've looked at, and it's been amazing at the journey that we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, I Have Issues. Now, as we close this out this morning in chapter 16, Paul, I just want to recap a little bit. Paul, last week in chapter 15, Paul had been talking a lot about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he was talking about eternity. In fact, this is what he said. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And so Paul goes from spending a lot of time on eternity and the rapture and things like that to getting us back focused on us here today. Now he's going to be talking about his friends and setting things finally in order with those in the church here. And I think the reason why he does that, it would seem kind of weird that he would be talking about eternity and the rapture and then getting the end of it back on us until you realize what he's doing. He's trying to set it up so he gets our mind and our eyes on the things of above instead of the things on this earth, because when your eyes are on heaven, it's going to change the way you live on this earth, amen? You're not going to be doing stupid stuff every day if your head's on the Lord, if you've got your head on eternity, and if you're waiting for the Lord's return. How many of you guys are waiting for it? Yes. And if you're waiting on it and you fill your heart and your life with that mindset, it's going to change the way that you act on earth. You know, they say you can't be so heavenly minded where you're no earthly good, but I say you can't be no earthly good unless you've got some heavenly mindedness. And so that's what Paul is doing, and he closes out. And let's just back it up a little bit. We'll start in verse 12. Paul, he says, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a more convenient time. Did you see what Paul said to Apollos? He urged him. Talk about peer pressure. Could you imagine? Has anybody ever punked you into doing stuff you didn't want to do? And some of us are just pushovers. Me, I'm one of them. I'll go to the mall in the valley, and there'll be some girl selling nail polish in the middle of the aisle asking me if she wants me to put some on. I'm like, no, okay. And I'm just like a pushover. I'm that guy. Like, you could sell me anything. You guys know that. I cave under peer pressure. But Paul was telling Apollos, I want you to get to Corinth and go back there and set things in order, get things straight. And you know what Apollos said? He goes, no, I'm good. And there was this push and shove. No, seriously, I want you to go back. No, I'm good. No, seriously, go back to Corinth. No, I told you I'm straight. I don't want to go back. I'm not going back. And that's that. And you know what that told me? Is that sometimes it's okay to say nay. It's okay to say no. It's okay. You don't have to get involved in everything somebody asks you to do without praying about it, without seeking the Lord's face about it. How many times have you said yes before you went to prayer and then regretted the thing that you said yes to? We got to remember, it's okay to say no. We want to pray about stuff before we say yes about it, because if not, you're going to end up doing the thing that you said yes about, and then you're going to be bitter about it when you're doing it. And so Apollos is like, no, I'm good, and he stays back. And in verse 13, Paul says this, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Watch and stand fast. Paul, actually, what he's telling the church in Corinth, if you were to read it like he was saying it, was that the men in Corinth needed to act like men and man up, because they were caving under fear. They were anything but brave. They were living on autopilot, waking up in the morning, doing the same thing they always did every single day, checking Facebook, scrolling through, their hands cramping up, looking on TV, checking the news, all of this stuff. And they're on autopilot. And what Paul says is, listen, you're in a battle. And you guys need to wake up. You guys need to be watchful of what's going on around you while it's going on around you, because there's some things happening. And there's three things that we want to watch against. Number one, Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Do you remember what Peter said? He said that Satan roams around like what? Seeking whom he can devour. So you know we got to be on watch against that. You let your guard down with the devil, and he'll be in a minute. And so Paul's saying, watch about that. But not just the devil, we got to watch about our own self. How many times, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of stuff we do that we give the credit for doing to the devil. And here's the reality of it. The devil doesn't always make you do it. In fact, the next time you're nasty to your wife, and you guys get in a fight, and you say some things you don't want to say, and you're impatient with her, just tell her the devil made me do it, see what she says. Anytime I try to do that with Vicky, she gets ready to slap me, like I get out the way. The devil didn't make you do that. Nobody can make you do nothing. You do that on your own self. And hey, here's a heads up. We need to take charge of our own flesh, our own thoughts, our own desires, the things that we think about, the things that we play with. Hey, get it out right now. And I'll bet you there's somebody here today that's been going over something. God's been saying, hey, you better put that in check. You better put it in check. Be on watch against the devil. Be on watch against yourself. And check this out. Be on watch for the Lord coming back. Man, did you guys know the Lord is coming back, and that there's a generation that doesn't have to die? Do you know we're living in a time where we just kind of go about our day, and we live like the only way we're getting off this planet is we're going to have to die off of it? But you know what the Word declares? That there's a generation that will not see death, and in a twinkling of an eye, they will be changed. That means that there's going to be a day where you wake up scratching your head with the bills, wondering how you're going to pay them all, and then boom, you're out of here. You're going to wake up, body aches and pain, and then boom, you're out of here. You're going to wake up thinking about the job you got to go to that you can't stand, and then boom, out of here. On the way to Lincoln City, there's a store, I see it all the time, and in the windows it says this, perhaps today. How many of you seen it? I love it. I think his name is David, if you know him. And that guy loves the Lord, and every time I roll by that place, you know what I say? Perhaps today. Perhaps today, perhaps today. You know how we need to live, church? We need to live expecting God that he would show up in the middle of this service. And if he doesn't do it in the middle of the service, maybe he'll do it at the end of it. Amen? But we got to get our eyes up off of this place. We live so stinking hopeless all the time. We might be that generation that the Lord comes back for, and we want to be ready. The Lord says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. And had the homeowner known that the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Again, you need to watch so people and things and demonic activity doesn't break up into your house. Be watchful. Say it with me, be on watch. Yeah, we got to be on watch. It's okay. We got to be watching for stuff. And so Paul says, be on watch, be on guard. And he also tells them, he says, not just to be on watch, lest they get wrecked, but to stand fast. This is a reminder. Stand fast in the faith. Hold your ground. So many times, I'm going to give you guys a spiritual hack. The reason why people don't grow more in the Lord is because they give up in the Lord. God has such good plans for you guys. Don't you know that? I almost feel like an inspirational speaker when I tell you that, but it's the Word of God and it's true, church. God has got so much for you, you can't contain it. And I think the starts and stops and the discouragement keeps us down from pushing through it all. And he says, stand fast, stand your ground, stand fast, don't give up. I remember when I was driving to Corvallis yesterday, we saw this, it caught my eye because there was this huge tree and all the leaves were off of it. But it had tons of fruit to where the limbs were like touching the ground. It was like apples or something. And the Lord said, Jason, I'm going to tell you something. When the leaves of this life go, you want something to remain. And the way that that happens is we stand our ground. God's not going to do it for you. One of the things that bothers me is when we sit back and say, God's just going to do it. God's just going to do it. Really? What about you? You going to partner with the Lord or are you going to lay it down? Hold your ground. Encouraging your spouse, loving them in the Lord. Hold your ground raising up your kids, doing what's right even though it's not easy. Hello? Do you know how hard it is to raise your babies up right? Just turn on the TV and let them go babysit in front of Dr. Phil all day. I'm telling you what, kids can be crazy. And in order to raise those babies up right, it's going to be work. It's going to be hard. You're going to be going to work looking like you hadn't slept a few nights. But we want to stay the ground with our family and in our faith. We don't want to move it with God. Keep pressing in. Don't get tired. And if you are, you know how you do it? He says, stand your ground in the faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the, that's right, hearing by the word of God. You know, church, when I get anxious and I get worried and I get scared, I can always trace it back to what I've been listening to over than what I should be listening to. Spending a lot of time on the news, spending a lot of time hanging out with creepy people who are totally unsupportive, listening to a bunch of drama on Facebook. And then you're going to find out that there's something wrong in your life. And God says, get your head straight, stand fast in the faith, get in the Word, study the Word, meditate on the Word, plug in with the Lord, and things will go right. Amen? Amen. So he says, stand fast. He says, be on watch, stand fast in the faith. And then he says, be brave and be strong. Why be brave and be strong? Because they're going through a spiritual battle. You know when you need to be brave? You know when you need to be strong? It's not when the kids are healthy and the bills are paid. Oh no. It's when life's coming against you and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know the next decision you got to make that you feel like your whole world is based on getting it right or getting it wrong. Have you ever been in those crossroads where you got to make a decision? You feel like, man, it's got to be one way or the other. And if I make the bad decision, that's it. This game over. It's done. What do I do? Where do I go? I can't see. That's what they're going through. And he says, you need to brave up. You need to be strong. Instead of running to the things that you used to run to when you used to freak out, you need to brave up and run to the Lord. That's the time that you go back to backsliding. We'll go back to whatever we used to do, however we used to do it, because we used to freak out. And you know what we would do? We'd just forget about it. I don't know if I'm probably not talking to anybody in here that gets what I'm saying, but I'll tell you what, when I would freak out, first thing I would do is try to forget about it some way. I'd do whatever. I would run the other direction. Instead of running to the Lord and dealing with it, I would run the other direction and deal with it my own self. And it never got me very far. And if you're here this morning and you're in that situation where it's foggy, you can't see, you're in that crossroads of making a decision where you feel like everything's riding on it, I'm going to tell you something. Just as the Lord told, just as Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, told the church in Corinth, be brave, be strong. Trust in the Lord who has you. He's got you. He knows every day. He knows every hair on your head. And I know that's not a lot on mine, but I got some on the side, and he knows that too. God loves you. He died for you. Someone needs to hear this right now. Someone's scared in here today. He's got you. Be brave. Be strong. Stand in the Lord. And now Paul, as he's going, he's going to close us out, and he's going to be talking about his friends that he really loves that were in Corinth that he had left behind. But before he gets there, he says in verse 14, let everything that you do be done in love. I got to be honest with you guys, this one has been hard for me this week. Just a show of hands, how many of you guys do everything in love? Okay, good. Oh, we got like one person. I'll be honest, church, it's something that I struggle with, and it's really hard. But Paul says we want to do everything that we do, and we want to do it with love. We want to do it with love. And the best way to do it is just to be honest about it with the Lord. If you've been irritable and nasty and blown up with the kids over small things, you know, it's one thing to spank your kids when they're running out into traffic. Oh, I'm sorry, or put them into timeout. I don't know what you guys do. But the belt worked pretty good on me. But, you know, sometimes we can freak out on our kids over the smallest of things because we're already so booked up in our head and life is so crazy and nuts. We can blow up at people at work. We can just be nasty. And it's hard to do all things in love. He didn't say some things in love. He said do all things in love. And if Paul, if anybody could have done stuff passive aggressively, you know, shutting the cupboard doors all hard, slamming the refrigerator, banging the pots and pans, it would have been Paul. He loved this church, and look what happened to it. They're screwing around on their wives. They're practicing immorality, and they've turned into drunkards. And here Paul gave his time. He gave his money. He gave his efforts. Man, don't you know what it's like to pour into people, and it's like it just goes into a bucket with a huge fat hole, and you're like, good Lord, am I making any kind of a change, any kind of a difference? And it's at that moment where you can just say, you know what, forget this. And you get nasty and bitter and upset. And Paul says, listen, hit the brakes. Give it to the Lord and do everything that you do in love. I don't know, maybe that's a word for somebody here today like me that had to step back and say, hey, Lord, I got it wrong this week. I didn't get it right. And you know what? God will change us as long as we come to the Lord and we're honest with him. We say, hey, I got some issues. I'm not dealing with love all the time in my house. You know what? Let's give it to the Lord and see what he does with it. And so Paul, he goes on, verse 15, talks about some friends that he labored with. And I love these guys. They're so cool. They remind me so much of you guys. He says, I urge you, brethren, that you know the household of Stephanas. If you're looking for baby names, listen up. The household of Stephanas. The household of Stephanas. Meaning that this guy's whole house was serving the Lord with him. Side note, nothing is more rewarding than your family and your household serving God with you. Raising those babies up, praying for people you see at the store, laboring out there serving, and you got your family with you. It says the whole household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and everyone who works and labors with us. I got to tell you guys something, just on a quick note. I want to show you something, how the King James words that in verse 15, where it says that they had devoted themselves to the ministry to the saints. And this is what it says. This was so cool. It says that, I beseech you, brethren, that you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted. Say it with me, addicted. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what's so cool about that? Is that he was an addict. He was an addict. He had to get his Jesus on the daily. How cool is that? You guys remember being addicted? Oh, somehow you don't want to raise the hand now. But there might have been a time. How cool is that? For Paul to say he was addicted. Meaning he was jonesing for Jesus. They would sit around the house freaking out until they could get their fix on how they could go out and minister for the Lord of God. Hey, do we got any addicts for Jesus in here today? Anybody? You guys are just like, man, I got to serve the Lord today. I got to plug in somehow, some way with somebody. How cool is that? They were addicted to the ministry, to the saints. They poured into people around them. They didn't come to church in their holy huddle and do things their way with their own people. They got outside their box and they started doing stuff. And Paul was like, listen, I want you to see these guys. They're examples. They're examples for all of us. In verse 18, he says, and they refreshed my spirit, and they also refreshed yours. So listen, if you went to work and you were mad about Trump, and you went to work and you were crying about this, and you were upset about that, and you had a fight with your wife the night before, and you would go, Paul says that Stephanas was a refresher. That really spoke to me. He was the kind of guy that when you were in the worst mood possible, you get around Stephanas, and all of a sudden, boom, things changed like that. How many of you guys want to be a refresher of people? You know, when you step into a situation, you want to leave it better than you showed up. When you leave this world one way or another, do you know you want to create a hole so big that no one's going to fill it? I told Mel that last week. I said, you know what, when we're serving people, you want to pour in and refresh people so much that when you leave this place, there's going to be a hole that nobody can fill. Are you filling it? Are you filling your role? Are you refreshing people? Are you encouraging them? I want to encourage you to encourage. You know, Jesus said, we're the light. We're the salt. This is it. Look around. I wouldn't have picked us. But somehow God saw it in his plan to do so. So you know what? I want you guys to encourage the people around you today. I don't know, maybe your brother, sister, someone at your home. Listen, think about that. Paul says, they refreshed my spirit. There's people out there that are dry, even Christians. Hey, you think because you're saved, you're not going to be in dry seasons where you need someone else to pour into you? Paul said, I was dry. How else could he say I needed to be refreshed and they refreshed me had he not been dry? Listen, we want to pour into people and allow people to pour into us. And Paul says that Stephanas was that guy. He had poured into him. And he says that they refreshed my soul. Verse 19, we're going to get ready to wrap this up with this because I'm going somewhere with this and I want to show you something. Let's go in verse 17. He says, I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. And if I'm wrong, tell the person you came with, but not me. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. What Paul was saying was there was a whole church in Corinth that should have been helping out in the ministry. And he said, these three guys showed up and they supplied what you were lacking. In other words, he's like, the whole church shouldn't survive on three people. That the whole church should get together and take ownership of their church. Sometimes, and this is, you know, this is the way it works around our community, and it is what it is, but sometimes there's people and they will just go to every church in the county, every one of them, on a regular basis. And they don't plug into a certain body. And so what happens is when that's going on, the churches really have like small groups in them where it's a few people taking care of a lot of stuff. And we don't want to be that church. We want to take ownership of this church. If this is your church, we want to plug in. And you guys do that amazing. In fact, man, look at what God's been doing since we've been showing up and the growth that he's been giving and will continue to give. And he says, they supplied what was lacking. These three guys. And they came and they refreshed his soul. And he says, acknowledge, verse 18, for they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge them. Take notice of them. Hang out with them. By the way, some of you guys need some new friends, okay? Just telling you. Verse 19, let's close it out with this. There's so much here, guys. I'm telling you what. You know, I've told you before, if you think the Bible's boring, you're boring. You got to get into the Word. There's so much here. He closes out in verse 19. He says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila, Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And all the brethren greet you one another with a holy kiss. By the way, if there's anybody creepy in here today, this is not your cue to go putting the Mac on various different women. Just saying. Sometimes we got to make it known. What Paul is saying is, back in the day, this is how they would greet one another. They would see each other and they'd be like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Smooch, smooch. And give this holy kiss. And it was great. That's what we did. Today, what we do is we do fist bump. We do the bro hug. Sometimes it's weird. We go sideways because we're not sure, like, do you want to go fist or do you want to go like this? Or like, how are we going to, you know? And then other times we're just all in. And then sometimes there's people who you go in on and they're not down with that. Have you ever hugged somebody that doesn't hug in church? Then it's super weird because you're just like, hey, what's up? And you're just like, ooh, you feel so good. And they're just like, ugh. And they're all, do I hug or what? And it's like you're hugging a board. And then you remember, you're like, not a hugger, not a hugger, not a hugger. So when Paul's saying, he says, hey, I want you guys to greet each other. Meaning, when you guys come into the house of the Lord, ask each other what's up. If someone's cool with a hug, a bro hug, give them a bro. I'm a hugger. I hug the fellas, and I love it. I hug all of, I would hug all of you, but I know some of you are the weird person, so I stay back. And I'll go in sideways or whatever. But the point of it is we want to greet each other in the Lord. And so the holy kiss thing here is off the table, y'all. There's probably some weirdo, and that's his memory verse. But listen, I want to close it out with this, you guys. We're going to close it out with this. And I want you guys to remember something. When you go home, I want you to read 2 Corinthians and look what God did in these people's lives. We've gone through, we've seen where they were. 2 Corinthians shows us where God took them. And I want to tell you in Jesus' name that when we submit to God and we give our life to him and we lay it down, we say, hey, listen, this is... You set your rule and reign up in me. Do what you want to do. I submit to you. God will do miraculous things in your life that you will never believe. And you will look back years later on your life and you'll be like, man, God has restored the years that the locusts have stolen from my life. And all things will become new. Do you believe it? Let's give God praise for that.